In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, I greet you on this joyous weekend, which we celebrate Independence Day, July 4th, and on which we celebrate today two great saints of the Church, St. Sergius of Radonezh and St. Elizabeth the New Martyr. We'll speak a little bit about those saints today, but first we should speak a little bit about what we heard in the readings today. Reading from the Apostle Paul spoke to us about the Jewish nation and how they sought to establish their own righteousness apart from the righteousness of God. And in so doing, they turned away from the Christ, whom God had sent, and in whom was the fullness of the Godhead, and who promised the Holy Spirit who would extend that communion with God to the whole world. The Jews had turned away from this, their Messiah, their chosen one, because they sought their own form of righteousness. In the Gospel reading, we heard about how the Lord, this Christ, the Son of the living God, came to the region of the Gadarenes with this fullness of the Godhead, with this righteousness, with this kingdom that he had come to establish. And he cast out demons from two demoniacs. Then the whole group of the townspeople came, and they saw Christ, and they asked him to depart. They turned away from him. And he got into a boat, crossed over, and went to the other side. In recent weeks, we've been speaking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in comparison to earthly kingdoms, earthly nations, earthly countries. And on this 4th of July weekend, we do well to think about the kingdom of God in comparison to our own country, our own nation. And this thought, this comparison, centers around the person of Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who has brought this heavenly kingdom to us. In the midst of our earthly nations and countries, he's come and he's brought this invitation to become citizens of his heavenly kingdom. What an invitation that is. Some might think it be contradictory that we're speaking about saints from the land of Russia, because St. Sergius of Radonezh and St. Elizabeth were from Russia on this 4th of July weekend. But we're speaking about them for a very important reason, because they are fellow citizens with us in the kingdom of God. And this citizenship is primary. All other citizenships are secondary. It doesn't, in a sense, even matter what land we live in, what nation we call home, what language we speak. None of that matters at the very deepest level. All that matters is if we're united to God and through him to one another in this heavenly kingdom. This is where our true citizenship is. This is where our true homeland is. Scriptures tell us we're just merely pilgrims on this earth. We're passing through. St. Sergius of Radonezh was born near Rostov in the 14th century. And he, with his family, moved to Radonezh, which is close to Moscow. And there he became a monk with his older brother Stephen. And they went out into the woods and they built a chapel to the Holy Trinity. And there they prayed and they fasted. And they dwelt with God in seclusion. After some time, his older brother, Stephen, left the monastery and went to a different one in the city of Moscow. The rigors of asceticism out in solitude and the hermitage there were too difficult for him. But St. Sergius remained, and he remained there by himself for a number of years. Some of the local peasants knew that he was there, and they would come out and they would talk to him, and they would hear his words of advice, spoken as an instrument of God. He became a person of great holiness. And these peasants told others, and they told others, and eventually a small community of monks formed around St. Sergius. And this community began to grow and to grow. Soon a village formed around that monastery, which was out in the middle of nowhere. Today it's called Sergiev Posad. And St. Sergius kept attracting disciples so that they could learn from him who was learning from Christ. And they could be entering into this kingdom as citizens of heaven. And this monastery expanded and expanded, and these disciples of St. Sergius went out, some during his lifetime and some after his lifetime, and started other monasteries. 50 monasteries were started at the time that St. Sergius was still alive. After he reposed, that next generation of his disciples started 50 more monasteries. Today, Russia has 400 monasteries that descend from the lineage of St. Sergius. St. Sergius has been called the builder of Russia. The builder of Russia, because from Moscow, which is closer to Europe than it is to Asia, from Moscow, Russia expanded west. And it expanded because, in large part, of the disciples of St. Sergius, who took this monastic principle of going out into the midst of nowhere and living there in communion with God and sharing that gospel with everybody in those remote regions. Russia expanded through the work of St. Sergius and his disciples. St. Sergius is one of the great patrons of Russia. They look to him as father. They love him and his work. One of the most prominent of all monasteries in Russia today is St. Sergius Holy Trinity Monastery. Father Skidunia, Father Daniel, you've been there probably many times. You know how glorious this monastery is, and it houses the relics of St. Sergius, his incorrupt relics that we just sung about in the Troparion Pentacle. This monastery has become an ideal for the monastic life. And the ideal that we see in this great, glorious monastery today was the same ideal that it was in that small chapel that was first built and dedicated to the Holy Trinity. And what is that ideal? But the very ideal that's revealed to us from the Holy Trinity, the community of persons in perfect unity. This is what heaven is all about. And this is what we're called to on this earth, to have that perfect unity with God and with one another, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. The other saint we'll speak about today is Saint Elizabeth, the new martyr. And we've spoken about her at length in previous years. I think two occasions we had sermons on her. And I encourage you, if you want to find out more, read about her or listen to those sermons online. But I'll recap briefly her life. St. Elizabeth was from the West. She was the daughter of Princess Alice of England, the granddaughter of Queen Victoria of England. She was married to Grand Duke Sergei of Russia. She moved to Russia. And eventually she converted to Orthodoxy, not at first, but after studying and after praying and reflecting, she felt that she needed to be joined to this ancient church with such richness of theology and spirituality and grace. She became Orthodox, and she was always dedicated to charity and service to others. And St. Elizabeth was a person who fell in love with the people of that land. And she felt herself to be a Russian, but more so, she felt herself to be a Christian first, an Orthodox Christian. And she ministered to those people and loved those people. So it happened, because of the turbulent times that she lived in, this was around the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1900s, when there was revolution happening in Russia. And communism was coming. There was great turmoil, and suffering, and anarchy. But her husband was killed in the Kremlin Square. He was assassinated. A bomb blew up in his carriage. St. Elizabeth then went to the assassin's cell when he was in prison and begged him to repent, to receive God's forgiveness. She came with the cross, the gospel, and an icon, asking that he would repent, turning the other cheek, loving him as she had loved everyone else. After the assassination of her husband, St. Elizabeth, who was of great wealth because she was of royalty and then married into the Romanov dynasty. She had great wealth. She gave away her wealth. She sold her possessions, and she took that money to form a convent, which was named after Saints Martha and Mary in the city of Moscow. Built this convent with her own money. And this convent was dedicated to the ideals that were shown in Martha and Mary. What were those ideals? Remember, Martha was anxious and troubled about much serving. She served as much as she could. And Mary, on the other hand, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to his words and contemplating them in this prayerful communion with God. This time it was dedicated to these two things: service to the poor and prayerful communion with God. She formed around her a number of sisters. And in these dark, terrible times of Russia, this small convent was a great light. Great light. And they would serve meals to whoever was homeless and poor. They would care for the soldiers who were sick or wounded or maimed coming back from battle. They had an orphanage there for young girls. And a new order was formed. An order of the Sisters of Love and Mercy. Now, this is an order that we're somewhat familiar with here at this church, because from that convent, St. Martha and Mary in Moscow, which was the first order of the Sisters of Love and Mercy, other orders have sprung up in Russia, throughout Eastern Europe, and throughout the world. These orders of Sisters of Mercy. And in fact, we had sisters come visit us at this church from Belarus. They came and they brought the items that the sisters had fashioned and created at the monastery. They brought church vessels and vestments and icons and prayer ropes. And they brought something of the work of the monastery there in Belarus. And remember, I think it was Sister Olga who was the first one that came. She dressed like a nun, but she wasn't. She was one of these Sisters of Mercy. But this was an order for lay people that they could be involved in the same work, focusing on those same ideals of Martha and Mary, prayerful communion with God and service to others. St. Elizabeth eventually, as we know, suffered martyrdom there. She had the opportunity to leave Russia, but she remained. She knew that she was sealing her fate. And she, together with others of the Romanov family, with a fellow sister from the monastery, the nun Barbara, and others, were martyred in Alipatiesk. They were thrown into a mine shaft. Grenades were thrown down after them. And this is where they met their martyrdom. Local villagers from the area came and they saw what was happening. And they witnessed the account of the martyrdom. They heard singing of church hymns, cherubic hymn, O Lord Save the People, hymns from the funeral service. When they brought up the bodies later, St. Elizabeth had her fingers in the sign of the cross, the rigor mortis was kept that way. She was clutching under her garment an icon of the Savior. She had taken off a bandage and was tending to the wounds of those who died together with her. St. Elizabeth was a great example of this love for God and love for one's neighbor. She taught to keep that earthly nation together, to unite everyone with God and everyone with one another. She was after that perfect unity. When we look at these two saints, they're from different earthly nations, but they're part of that same heavenly kingdom in which we find ourselves as citizens. They were people who sought first the kingdom of God and everything else second. They were people who rendered to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but to God that which is God's. They were people who were in the world but not of it. They were the salt of the earth. They were the light of the world. They were the yeast that leavened the bread. They were what we are actually called to be here in this nation. This nation that seeks after its own form of righteousness but rejects the righteousness of God. This nation that now is asking Christ to depart in various ways. And this nation that God calls to something better, something higher. Union with him and with one another. A perfect union. A truly united states. Not just united on earth, but united to heaven. Every earthly kingdom finds its fulfillment in God. Every good thing that we have in this nation, every good thing, and we have so many wonderful things in this nation. We are so privileged to be living in the United States of America. Every good thing that we have, every perfect thing that we have, it's from above. From the Father of Lights, every good thing we have it because of our acceptance of God in His way. And likewise, every bad thing that exists here, every darkness, it's because of the rejection of the Father of Lights. As we celebrate this Independence Day, as we celebrate the birth of our nation, As we celebrate Venerable Sergius of Radonezh and St. Elizabeth the Nunmar of Moscow, as we celebrate the fact that we're involved and incorporated into the life of Christ in the heavenly kingdom as citizens of that next age, as we contemplate all of these things, let us remember our mission to pray and to fast like St. Sergius, to be committed to the ideal true life that we see in the Holy Trinity, to share the good news of the gospel everywhere, to be committed to not only prayer and contemplation and study of God's word, but also service to others like St. Elizabeth. And like her, let us not flee from the challenges that we find ourselves in this nation, but embrace those people, first embracing God, then embracing them, so that all the citizens of this nation might likewise become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. For our Lord Jesus Christ be the glory of his eternal Father and the all Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.